Do you have your Bibles this morning? Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, and we are going to look at verses 19 through 29. And really, we're just going to look at the last couple verses, but I want to give you the whole story so we know what we're looking at, okay? So, John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. You have it? Gotta let me know. I don't want to read without you. Barry's there. Val's there. All right. We're getting there. Okay. It starts out. We're all there. All right. Okay. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven, or they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray. Lord, thanks for today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage, Lord God, and Father, it may be very familiar to some of us, but Lord, I pray that as we look at it again today, you would give us fresh eyes and ears to see and to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of our hearts. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, this next month, we are going to start with prayers of faith. Do we have them out yet? Nope. All right. They're still back in the office. They're just a little booklet. And what we're going to do is 21 days of prayer and fasting. And this isn't necessarily to say you have to fast food for 21 days. Okay. This is to separate ourselves unto the Lord and pray prayers of faith, believing God is able to do what he said he would do. All right? So, with that in mind, we're going to start this. We'll have them out at the back of the church at the end of the service. And so, we'll have them back out there somewhere. So, remind me if they're not there when you come out so I can go get them or something. All right? So, this morning, what I wanted to do is to start talking about faith, because faith is key to our life and our walk with the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." It's impossible to please God. Well, we all want to please God, right? That should have been stronger than that, but we all want to please God, right? Amen. All right, we all want to please God. So if we're going to do that, we need to do it by faith. Now, we have a story here that we read this morning about Thomas. and a choice that he made. Thomas made a choice not to believe. It wasn't a matter of fact whether or not Thomas, the other disciples, had seen it or not. It wasn't a matter of whether Jesus was even raised from the dead or not. It wasn't whether he could walk through walls and join them in the midst of the room, because the room was shut, the doors were shut. It was a choice that he made that said, I don't care if you've seen it, I haven't seen it, and so therefore I am not going to believe. It was just that, it was a choice. And my concern is that there's many people in the church today with that same response to the move of God. When God begins to move, we may or may not believe the testimony of a friend. I mean, Thomas had lived with these people for 3 years. He knew them well. He knew Jesus. Yet, even though they said, we have seen the Lord, he wasn't going to believe it. He just chose not to believe it. I am not going to believe it. That might be okay for you, but not for me. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to believe it. Have you guys heard things like this in the church? This is all over. Well, I haven't seen Jesus heal anybody, so he must not do that anymore. Well, the Bible tells you different. The testimony, not only of your friends, but the testimony of the Word of God gives us testimony that God still heals. I mean, there's so many things that we can read and use to base our faith on. The question is, do we choose to believe? Do we choose to believe, or are we going to just choose not to believe? Are we going to choose to walk in faith, or are we going to choose to doubt? I mean, Thomas got this terrible rap about being doubting Thomas. And we've kind of locked him into doubting Thomas. How many know who doubting Thomas is? You all heard about him? We just read a story about him, right? Okay, so if we were to talk about doubting Thomas, this is where you would go. John chapter 20. Because he doubted one time. Do you know the end of his story was he gave his life for the Lord? He was a martyr? Yet, we've locked him into doubting Thomas. How many of you would like to have that label on you? Because I know without even asking you, you've doubted. At one time or another, you've doubted the story of Jesus Christ, the works of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all been there. Thank God we aren't locked into that. Because God came to set us free. But you know, the one thing that isn't pointed out in this story, Jesus never condemned him. He just said, here, put your hand here. Put your finger here in my hand. Put your hand in my side. He didn't say, oh, well, you'll never make it to heaven like that. All he said was, here, put your finger here. Put your hand here. God isn't looking for ways to condemn us in our doubt. He's not looking for ways to expose our doubt. He wants us to believe. Now, he did say, Thomas, there's a better way. You believe because you saw. But blessed are those who believe, even though they haven't seen. Blessed are those who believe, even though they haven't seen yet. See, too many times we have to be proven that God's right, rather than just believe what the Word says. Believe by faith. You know, there's a scripture Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. How many knew there was a law of faith? Or did you just think it just happens? There's a law, and a law means that it works every time. How many know? I got this book here. Now, how many of you think you know what would happen if I just let go? What would happen? Why? There's a law of gravity, right? So the law of gravity, is it greater than the law of faith? No. That wasn't a trick question. Remember Jesus walked on water? Wouldn't that be kind of described as defying gravity? But it's a law, which means that it works. It's not just something I hope for or I wish would happen. It's faith. And it works every time because it's a law. Law is powerful. And if we would learn to walk in the law of faith, there's also a law of love. There's lots of laws in the Bible. But God wants us to learn to walk in the law of faith, believing that He is able to do what He said He would do. And I believe that as we begin to learn the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then we will begin to walk above the natural laws that we see around us. First Peter 2:24. Here's a law. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. That we, who have died to sin, were you on that cross? Yes. By faith. The scripture says in Galatians and in Romans chapter 6 that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ lives in us. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. So yes, I was crucified with him on the cross by faith. Galatians chapter 2 verse 8. Tells us that we have been saved by grace through faith. Faith is involved here, believing that we have received what God has done for us. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 says, for what the law could not do, this is talking about the Old Testament law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law was weak in the flesh, so God sent Jesus to fulfill the law, the righteous requirement of the law, so that we can walk by faith. But we have to receive it by faith. We have to receive it by faith, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did when he came here. Now, The choice to believe this or not is up to you. But whether or not you believe it or not will not change the fact what Jesus did for us. Whether you believe it or not. Do you realize there's a lot of people today that are dying and going to hell, but Jesus has already paid for their sins? They just don't believe it. They choose not to believe it. But he's already taken care of their sin. He's already died for their sin. He already paid the price for their sin. He's already fulfilled the righteous requirement for their sin. Yet they choose not to believe that. So because of that, they've chosen not to believe. They are not walking in faith. They have not received salvation by faith. It's provided. It's given to them by grace, but they've not received it. They have said, no, I choose not to believe that. And so they don't believe it. And consequently, because they don't believe, they've never entered into salvation. Now they might believe that, yes, God can do that. God can come through the walls. God can stand in the midst of us. God can do all these things just like Thomas did. God can heal you. God can do all this stuff. They might believe all that, but they don't believe it for them. Just like Thomas. But I will not believe unless I can see it. See, his faith was in what he could see. God wants us to shift gears and move from there to seeing by faith because of what Jesus has done for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. How many have proven that? Okay, we've all sinned, and we all have been under the power of sin, and we've all been there and had sin controlling us and doing all these kinds of things in our life, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that would be Jesus going to the cross, the free gift called salvation came to all men, resulting in justification, just as if I have never sinned. Well, yeah, but I have sinned. Well, then you aren't receiving justification by faith because you're choosing not to believe. Before God, you are just as if you had never sinned. But I have sinned. By faith, we've been crucified with Christ. See, we can choose to look at the natural, or we can choose to look at it by faith. Through one man's righteous act, Jesus, what he did on the cross, the gift of salvation has been provided for all of us. And it's up to us to make that choice. Now, I'm sure if you went out on the road this afternoon, you started talking to people downtown, if you could find them, and ask them about salvation, they could probably tell you that, yeah, Jesus came into the world, he died on the cross for us. They could probably tell you that much. And they would probably say, yeah, I believe that, I guess. Why? Because they have a belief. But do they receive it for themselves by faith? I'm not saying that they're perfect. Nor am I saying anyone in here is perfect. But by faith, we receive what Jesus did on the cross. Our doubting does not nullify the righteous act that Jesus did on the cross. He still died for them. He still was buried for them. He still went to hell and preached the gospel to those in Hades. He still did all this stuff for them. He still rose from the grave from them. He still ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, you and I have been risen with him and we are seated with him by faith at the right hand of the Father as we speak. No, I'm not. I'm sitting right here. Okay. You're not believing by faith. You're not taking what the Word says and grabbing it by faith. You're still waiting to see it. Now, when we get to heaven and you see right there's where Jesus, okay, that's where I sit. You see, but then you're waiting to see it. You're doubting it here, but you're waiting to have it proven to you. Our faith in the righteous act that Jesus did on the cross will qualify us and activate what God wants to do in us by moving us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. He's already done this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now this is talking about us. He has qualified you. You don't have to do anything. You are already qualified to be there. Verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered you. He has set you free. He has taken the restraints off of you by the power of darkness, and he's taken you and moved you from the kingdom of darkness over here to the kingdom of his Son. By faith. Physically, we're just sitting here. But spiritually, by faith, God has taken us. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, when we surrender to the will of God and what he has done for us, we move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, that is based on nothing that you have done by yourself. Is it not based on your actions other than you making Jesus Lord of your life? It's not based on because you don't have these wild thoughts going through your mind anymore. This is not based on you doing all of the right things all the time. It's not based on any of those things that we would qualify ourselves. He's already qualified us. God qualified us by sending Jesus to the cross. And he took care of the righteous acts that the law required. So now I am made righteous. He took my sin. 2 Corinthians 5. He says that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If you do not see yourself as a righteous man or woman of God, you need to step over into faith. Because if you're basing that based on your actions, you're never going to be righteous. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to qualify. We need Jesus. That's what the law was doing, was pointing us to Jesus. You cannot do it, but Jesus can. So he says, here you go. I'm going to come take care of that. So Jesus came, took care of the problem, moved us from the power of darkness. How many would like to be out from underneath the power of darkness? Well, you already are if you're born again. You already are. Now, I'm not saying that you haven't done everything right, or you have done everything right, because when we come into the new kingdom, we have to learn to see things the way God sees them. How many realize and remember the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt? It was not hard for God to get them out of Egypt. The problem was getting Egypt out of them. That was the problem. God doesn't have a problem getting you saved, making you righteous. The problem is getting all that evil thinking out of you so that you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You see, when the children of Israel got up to the promised land, ready to go in, they sent the spies in, and the spies came back and said, oh, we can't do that. We're just grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants. We can't. Oh, there's no way I can ever get in there. You said you're going to give me a house that I did not build. You're going to give me vineyards that I have not planted. But I can't do that. There's a giant standing next to that house. I'm not going to go ask him for it. You see, God got them out of Egypt with no problem. But he couldn't get Egypt out of them because that was their choice. So see, you can know all of the right stuff. You can sit in church for years and study and learn the scriptures and do all of this stuff. But if you don't let the Word of God get into your thinking and change the way you think, you're never going to come out of that. And you're going to continue to struggle in that area, whatever it might be, until you go home to be with the Lord. Because you are saved. You are born again. You are a child of God. But we need to change the way we think. And that comes by faith. Now here, okay, let me just use this as an example. We read the scripture, 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were, that's past tense, right? Were healed. So, if I'm sick, my physical body is sick, I am under attack against the Word of God. Now, I can choose to believe the Word of God and say, no, the Scripture says, by His stripes I am healed. I don't deny that my body's sick, but I am confessing with my mouth what the Word says. I am healed. Oh, no, you're just lying. You're sicker than a dog. I'm not denying that I'm sick. But I'm confessing I am healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. Oh, you're just fooling yourself. People have been criticizing faith for years because it goes contrary to the way the world thinks. It goes contrary to what Egypt has programmed us. Egypt says you can't. God says you can. And you are. And so this next month, I want to challenge you to believe what God says by faith. Don't look for all the results and everything in your flesh. Because I said this morning, and it almost sounds contrary, but I'm going to say it again, just so you know. You may get to the end of the month after 21 days of prayer and fasting, faith-filled prayers. We may get to the end of the month, and we may not see the answer to your prayer. You may not see the answer to your prayer. But does that mean that that prayer has not been answered? By faith, it has. Now, it might take a while for one to process that in your head and begin to think the way God thinks. It might take us a while to renew, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, renew our minds according to the Word of God the promises of God. It might take us a while to get to that point, but we still have the promise if we will believe it. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as what? Chapter of faith, all right? Hall of Fame of Faith is what a lot of people refer to it as. So what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about is about people who have believed God and basically didn't get it. Verse 13 says, all of these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You could not convince Abraham he was not going to have a son. He was fully convinced, Romans chapter 4, he was fully convinced that he was going to be the father of many nations. He was fully convinced. You could not talk him out of that because he already saw it. Caleb and Caleb and Joshua, you could not convince them that they were not going to go into the promised land. You could not convince them that they didn't have a place in that promised land. It didn't matter who occupied that ground, because when they went in, Joshua let them in. Caleb came to him later and says, okay, now I want my mountain. I want my place. God promised me my place. Now, how old are you, Mark? How old are you, can I ask? 83. All right. Joshua, when they went in the first time, was 40. And then they spent 40 years in the desert. And then they fought for a couple years. And then they come, Caleb comes to Joshua and says, hey, it's time for me to get my mountain. But there's some giants up there. Joshua says, let's go. Joshua was 82. So, you got these, don't mess with old men. Right? Don't mess with these old believers in the Word of God, because they believe that God is able to do what he said he would do. And if that's give me a mountain that's occupied by some giants right now, I don't care. God promised it. And you see, they saw it before they ever had it. I imagine for 40 years, Caleb stood out there in that desert and thought, oh man, I can't wait until I get that stream next to my house and I can put up my hammock between those two trees. I cannot wait to relax up there on that mountain. He was dreaming for 40 years about what this was going to be like. And so when he went to Joshua and said, okay, my turn, let's go. It was not a problem for God, because God had already gotten Egypt out of Caleb's mind. That's where we sit. We got the promises. We've just read one. By his stripes you were healed. So what happens when I'm sick? Then I need to fight the fight of faith. The fight of faith is taking what the Word of God says and not getting off of what the Word says by circumstances. So yes, I might have a runny nose, I might have a cough, I might have congestion, I might have a fever, but by faith I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And the devil is trying his hardest. You ever play King of the Mountain when you were a kid? No? You missed out. One knucklehead's on the top, and anybody else that tried to get up there to throw him off, he threw them off. So this is constant war going on of who was going to be king of the hill. You see, Satan's kind of trying to come against what God has said and get us to believe we can't throw him off the top of the hill. But I believe we have a bunch of Calebs in here. Not that you're all 80 years old, but I believe that you and I, we can take the faith and we can stand on that mountain and believe, God, you said this is what your word says. So you said, by his stripes I am healed. So I am going to receive my healing right now. Stand on that and don't be pushed off. Stand on that and don't be moved one way or the other. Well, maybe only on your good days. No, God wants us to stand firm. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Stand on the promises of God. Now, next week, we're going to get a little farther into this, and we're going to talk about how to activate the faith. Where do we get the faith? All of those other things that we probably have questions about. But I want us to understand we have to make that choice to stand on the prayers of faith, promises of God. Stand on those promises so that we can receive what God said. We can receive all the promises that God has for us, because he has promises for each and every one of us. He has over 7,000 promises in this book. If you can't find one that fits you or your circumstances, you need to look a little harder. Because nothing new is under the sun. God is able to do what he said he would do. Doubting is not walking in faith. Faith is believing before you see it and confessing, just like they did in Hebrews 11, confessing it. That is my ground. That's my home. That's my land. I believe God's given that to me by faith. And he had given that to them. Now I might have to change my thinking. I might have to change the way I process the way the world taught me how to think. But that's okay. If you want to see change happen in your life, there's going to be a challenge. If you want to see a change in your life, there's going to be a challenge. I know a lot of people this time of the year are probably thinking about New Year's resolutions. Ever heard of those before? Okay. If you are going to see those things happen in your life, it's going to take a change on your part. You want to lose weight? What do you have to do?
Eat more.
Wrong diet. We need to discipline. We need to do some changing in our own habits. If you want to draw closer to the Lord, what do you have to do? Spend more time with him. Those are changes that we have to make. See, all this sounds good on Sunday morning. But Monday morning, it's not quite so easy. So, determine to make those changes in your life. Determine to challenge yourself. Yes, it'll be a challenge, but that's okay. You're up for the challenge. I can see it written all over your face.